You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
I was blessed to be raised in a churched home. My mother and father taught me that to whom much is given, much is expected.
This is why identity politics can never work. Every person at his core has one particular thing that they really identify.
He ran in 2008 as saying that he was open to all kinds of restrictions on abortion, and yet his administration never put forward any restriction on abortion of its own, and that's something that they should be held accountable for, too.
Archaeology shows that again and again. I do not know of a single discovery that shows the Bible is simply wrong.
Anglican priests in Wisconsin, surrounded by Lutherans, love issues, etc.
It's not unusual for there to be controversial issues. When we talk about Anglicans or the Church of England, they have their controversy as well. Now, their controversy is very low-key. When you read a headline like, Church of England in turmoil as Synod rejects report on same-sex relationships, you're not looking at bishops standing up and screaming or yelling or even raising their voices, perhaps not even raising their eyebrows. But it is very significant. The Church of England's Synod meeting in London rejected a report on same-sex relationships. And the question is, why did they reject it? What did they want instead? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 16th of February. Bishop Keith Ackerman will join us to talk about the rejection by the Church of England Synod of a report on same-sex relationships. Terry Mattingly will be alongside next. We're going to discuss media coverage of a Pew Research Center survey on Americans' attitudes toward religious groups. Everybody is getting the love, at least a little bit, except for Christian evangelicals, according to the survey. Joy Pullman of The Federalist will talk about repealing Common Core in the last few minutes of this hour. Now, you can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. Email us, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or our beloved on-demand listeners use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to discuss the rejection by the Church of England Synod of a report on same-sex relationships, Bishop Keith Ackerman. He's a regular guest, former bishop of the Quincy Diocese in Illinois, serves on the College of Bishops for the Anglican Church in North America. Bishop Ackerman, welcome back.
It is always good to be back with dear friends such as you. Thank you.
The bishops who participated in this synod in London, well, at least some of them, were not silent about the reason they felt this report needed to be rejected by the Synod. What was their reasoning?
The reasoning is really peculiar, and that is that in an attempt to be able to have a kind of subtle peace, you hear pragmatists who say, we will lose so many people if we don't approve these relationships which exist. It's as if being able to talk about such things apart from salvation is a possibility.
So what did the report actually say? What did it, if it recommended anything, what did it recommend?
Well, no significant recommendation has come forward at this time of which I'm aware, and I need to go back and look more carefully. But I can tell you that the rejection of the traditional and orthodox position has already caught the attention of the GAFCON primates and the GAFCON bishops around the world. GAFCON being the uprising, if you will, of all of us who have said, you either are a Christian or you are not. You either are following the scriptures or you are not. Time to stand up. And I know that the chief negotiator, that is Archbishop Justin Welby, is quite taken aback by what has occurred. His goal was to maintain a peace in the Church of England. But one of the things about 39 articles is it makes clear reference to the fact that synods do err. And here, yet again, is an opportunity for that 39 article to be seen clearly. Synods do, in fact, err.
So did the bishops, in effect, reject what had been up to this point, and still, at least officially, remains the teaching of the Church of England on same-sex relationships?
I think that would be one way of really looking at it. And the reason I have to look at it just a little more carefully is while what I'm looking at the underlying points. There is within the Church of England something called the Society. The Society is made up of those who are attempting to do some semblance of reform within the Church of England. But I think what the Church of England Orthodox people are discovering very, very clearly is that, like the Episcopal Church, where Orthodox Episcopalians could no longer reform the Episcopal Church and therefore had to have a separation of the ways, the Church of England is coming rapidly to that crossroads. Now, keep in mind, the Church of England is one of 39 provinces in the Anglican Communion. So in one sense, one might be able to say, well, it's only one synod. However, we have to remember how it would look if it were said that the Diocese of Rome had just rejected the teachings of the Pope, or Constantinople says that it's just rejected the teachings of the Patriarch. The prominence of that position exceeds what, in fact, the numerical reality is.
Archbishop Welby, he does want peace, there's no doubt about that, and he was hoping to sustain at least some kind of detente here, but his own position on same-sex marriage is pretty clear.
Yes.
He's approaching this more politically and pragmatically, isn't he?
Yes, he is. First of all, we have to remember, my goodness, I think I was consecrated a bishop before he was ordained a priest. So he comes out of the business world, and he comes into the church, in leadership at least, as an evangelical. All of his background as an Anglican has been an evangelical. In fact, the renewal movement in the Church of England. So it was seen by many people in the Church of England as a kindred spirit. But while in the business world, his primary task, especially in the African nation, was to come up with ways which everybody could be happy. Sorry to say, you either follow the scriptural teaching or not. If you do follow the scriptural teachings, that means that we might have to lose mother, father, sisters, brothers, etc.
What comes next?
What comes next, I believe, is that the Church of England as a whole is going to realize that it's in further crisis than it even thought. What will occur then is there will be, from the GAFCON primates, keep in mind that the GAFCON primates constitute over three-quarters of the population of the Anglican Communion. They will then undoubtedly meet, take counsel, and say, what do we do next? But in many ways, if there was any hope on the part of the Archbishop of Canterbury to be able to put together a Lambeth Conference whereby bishops from around the Anglican world would come to meet in Canterbury, as we have done every 10 years, if there was any hope that that would occur, I think what has occurred today has sealed that deal. It's not going to happen.
You mentioned that the Episcopal Diocese here in the United States essentially rendered itself unreformable.
That's right.
Is that the same path for the Church of England if it takes this particular step? Have they crossed the point of no return if they reject the Church's teaching on this?
Well, let's look at it this way. The answer, the immediate answer is yes, they have. But let's look at it from another perspective. Anglicanism, the Anglican Communion, is the third largest Christian communion in the world. The first being the Roman Communion, or the Roman Catholic Church, the second being Orthodoxy. You cannot seriously think that either the Vatican or, for example, Moscow is going to look at this and say it doesn't matter. So what it does ecumenically for the ecumenical work that's been done on the wider scale is it really begins the process of disengagement. Now, as it relates to its relationship with the rest of the Anglican Communion, we are probably looking at the disintegration of a communion that may very well wind up becoming more like a worldwide federation, which would be extraordinary. It would be unconscionable, but there you have it. Bad decisions, non-biblical decisions, always have consequences.
If this domino falls, this is not just any domino. If this domino falls, is it kind of the last because it was a holdout, or will it topple others?
It will topple others because even though the Church of England is independent as a province, I mean, there are two provinces within the Church of England, as you probably know. There's the Convocation of Canterbury, the Convocation of York. And Canterbury is what we call the primus inter pares, that's first among equals. So there are two archbishops in the country, but the Archbishop of Canterbury has the prominence. But what will occur is it has moral suasion, the proverbial bully pulpit, and that is for especially those missionary dioceses, which are now very large provinces in the Anglican Communion. They've always looked to Britain as being a mother church, Church of England, mother church. They still think of themselves as connected somehow with the crown. What this does for the crown alone is absurd. I think if everybody listening to this broadcast recognizes that one of the Queen's chaplains resigned several weeks ago, that's unheard of, that one of the Queen's top chaplains would resign. But he resigned because he cannot concur with the direction.
Bishop Keith Ackerman is a former bishop of the Quincy Diocese in Illinois. He serves on the College of Bishops for the Anglican Church in North America. Bishop Ackerman, keep up the good work, and thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you for being who you are, and love to all the guests.
When we come back, Terry Mattingly is going to join us. Pew Research has put out a survey on American attitude toward religious groups, covering all the bases, so to speak. There's warm feelings for most and warming up, except for one. We'll find out which it is after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Dr. Anthony Eslin will be speaking on the topic of imagination and education at the second annual Wittenberg Academy Family Retreat, which will be held at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa on April 27th through the 29th, 2017. Join us and be immersed in God's Word, thoughtful discussions, and family fun. For more information or to register, visit www.wittenbergacademy.org and click on the registration tab.
Quality, quantity, qualify. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.